1% of the preservationists are people of color, and more specifically Black people. And so I think this program, Voices Remembered, under the umbrella of Preservation Virginia, is important to grow that percentage.
Welcome to the History Drop, where we talk all things history. Our first installment, and I could not think of a better guest to have than Dr. Lisa Wynn Bryan, who is a faculty member at Virginia Commonwealth University in the Black Studies Department, and also does community outreach for Preservation Virginia, among other things. I just named a couple things. What else are you into? And welcome to the History Drop.
Thank you. Gosh, I'm into so many things. Just a lot of community work. I'm teaching different courses at VCU, which I love. Race and racism, which I love. The idea of it and the controversy that, you know, goes into it and having those difficult conversations. So I do that. But yeah, that
You're a member of a sorority?
Yes, I am.
You're not going to mention the sorority?
Yes, I'm a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority.
Okay.
35 years, life member.
You gotta shout them out.
Yes, and if I have to shout them out, then I have to shout out the Lynx Incorporated. Okay. I'm a member of the Lynx as well.
Okay, so, good. Yeah. So we're here, we're going to talk today about some of the history work you're doing at Preservation Virginia.
Okay.
But I want to ask you, you mentioned that you do... I want to know why you do what you do. Like, how did you get into to your work?
I think it's like everybody, you know, you grow up and you have family around you. I was always interested in photography. I'm not a photographer, but I like old pictures. Yeah. I like old things. I like being around the elders and older people. They just have such interesting stories. And so I've always had an interest in doing it. Loved looking at all my grandma's old things and just wondering, you know, who is this person and who's that person and, you know, what did they do? And just almost like going back into time, just trying to see how people lived.
Yeah.
So that's how I've always had an interest in it. But career wise, I didn't think about it in that way. I was going to do all kinds of things. I changed my major like a bazillion times. And you know, I got to a point where my mother was like, you need to graduate. Like, you need to come out of here. And I loved school. So I kept going, you know, back and back and learning and taking classes and getting degrees, just out of interest, and kind of fell into Black studies.
Yeah.
I always wanted to know more about my people, my culture, my environment. And so I went into it and ended up teaching it at VCU. So I went to James Madison University and I went to VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University. So I ended up teaching in the department where I got the degree.
Okay.
So that's been fun.
Yeah. So how do the students in your Black Studies courses, do you find that they are really thirsty for this information? Has it kind of changed?
I think they have an interest in, you know, we all are who we are because of our family, because of where we were raised, how we were raised. And, you know, that goes into the history of who you are, who your family is. It makes you the leader that you become. So they get into the classroom and are very anxious, really, to talk about it openly, to talk about those issues. And when we look at the issue of race, it goes back to our history and goes back to enslavement in this country.
Yeah.
You can tie it back. And so I think that's what Black Studies does. It ties you back to the history of Black people.
Yeah.
So, we get into some, and it's all types of students, not just Black students.
Yeah, of course.
You
of course.
Know? So we really get deep into the issues of race.
Yeah. And you said something interesting, too. I was just sitting here thinking, how you got interested in history. I cannot walk past a black and white photo and not, what is that?
Yeah.
Who is that? And just, I want to know the entire story. So, so I can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
So tell me about Preservation Virginia.
So Preservation Virginia, I actually ended up, I didn't know what Preservation Virginia was. through my studies at VCU in the Black Studies Department, you have to have an internship. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm an older student at that time, I still had to complete the internship myself. So I wanted to be a part of something where I could learn more about the history of enslavement. And so just looking at what internships were out there, Preservation Virginia was the organization that I ended up working with. And so Preservation Virginia was founded in 1889, not that far mm-hmm. Past enslavement or the period of enslavement. You know, as things go along, we change our language. And so, you know, the reference to slavery has transitioned to enslavement. And so I was trying to identify with one of the board members through my internship, what programs are out there that can attract people of color into preservation. That was one of the initiatives that Preservation Virginia wanted to pursue. So, you know, the focus, so Preservation Virginia being around since 1889, having six properties, a lot of people know Jamestown, yes. but they may not know Scotchtown or Smith's Fort or Bacon's Castle or Cape Henry Lighthouse. So there are different, and the John Marshall House as mm-hmm. well in Richmond. So there are different spaces that Preservation Virginia owns and manages. And then there are programs and initiatives that Preservation Virginia kind of, you know, has launched out over the years, over the decades, trying to address different issues and preserve spaces, historic spaces.
Right. And so part of that work, so I've had the pleasure and yeah. the blessing to work with you on Project Voices Remembered.
Yes.
And it's been an incredible ride so far. I know we're still working on that. But tell me about what Voices Remembered is.
So you're getting in on the ground floor.
Yes.
There was no initiative called Voices Remembered before Preservation Virginia brought me to the organization. There has not been a focus on communities of color. And so Voices Remembered, it started out as an article mm-hmm. for Black History Month. So with all of the sites that Preservation Virginia owns and operates, and this is a nonprofit organization, by the way, the emphasis on the fuller story
yeah.
needed to be communicated. And what I mean by that is telling everyone's story, whether you're Black or white or Native American or from an indigenous population. We want to tell the whole story, the fuller story. And I think that's happening across the country. And, you know, we have these ebbs and flows when yeah. it comes to race. But the organization decided that was something that they needed to focus on. And so bringing me in, looking for someone who could be community oriented and reach out to those communities, it was just a perfect fit. So Voices Remembered is an initiative, a program that focuses on telling a fuller story.
And so it gives whatever community that mm-hmm. we're talking about a chance to tell their story.
Yes.
So, you know, one of the things that that I have kind of noticed in interviewing some of these, mm-hmm. these folks is just how much they just really enjoy being able
yes.
to talk. We interviewed Mr. Bailey.
Yes.
Tell me about Mr. Bailey.
So Mr. Bailey is from Surry County, Virginia. He will be 105, I believe, in September. And so you can imagine the stories that he has. And so we wanted to get that. And that's what we're trying to do with Voices Remembered. Get the stories out of the minds and the heads of individuals from those communities to tell their story. And so I'm hoping that this will be a part of his legacy. And he's kind of done it all. Just hearing about him traveling to New York, leaving yeah. Surry County, traveling to New York City, doing all these designs, interior design projects for different people, for famous yeah. celebrities.
He had some incredible stories, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. I mean, just think about it, you know, and I think that's what I find so fascinating about history, being able to go back you know, what was it like to design a room or paint a room, you know, for this jazz artist? So, yeah, he's just a fascinating person. Very sharp.
Yeah. I still have
very present.
Listen, I still need to see a birth certificate from that. Yeah. There's no way he
I know he doesn't even look. I mean, I don't know what 105 is supposed to look like, but.
Man.
Yeah, he looks great. He looks great.
It was just so important for him to be able to tell those stories.
Yeah.
And I just loved how his face lit up. Why is it so important, though, that we do that? I mean, what's at risk if we don't do this?
Well, one of the things I think you kind of pointed it out, too, with Voices Remembered, it gives the community, and my emphasis and my lens is the Black community. So that's, you know, how I'm speaking as a Black woman, how I identify. It gives you an opportunity to tell your own story instead of having someone else tell your story for you and to be involved in that. And as Black people in this country, we don't, you know, this is something else I present a lot in the classroom, is we don't get to understand all of the intricacies of our history. Mm-hmm. I tell the students, you know, you're sitting in this classroom, you don't think about the individuals who couldn't sit here. We get into these debates, I don't know if I should call them debates, but conversations about voting or not voting. And I try to articulate, you know, someone gave their life. Someone literally died so that you could have that choice to do it or not.
Yes.
So I think it's important to kind of communicate to everyone, like, this is your opportunity to tell your story the way you understand it. Sometimes those stories, and you can look through the history of Preservation Virginia and see how those stories may have been misappropriated or told differently through a white lens. And so having this opportunity to tell all of the stories and to tell it from your perspective through your lens, I think is what we want to do with this initiative.
And that's what I was kind of trying to get to, is that you just use the example about voting, right? Drives me crazy.
Yeah.
When I hear people say, I don't vote.
Yeah.
I'm not going to vote. Why? It doesn't make a difference.
Right.
You know
exactly.
what? Yeah. Okay. Politically speaking, it may not make a difference, but people died.
Yeah. Yes.
For that right to vote. I don't care if you have to write in.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Garfield,
I think you
the
have
cat,
to.
I don't care. Just go in the booth.
Yeah.
And vote.
Yeah. But making that decision, you know, using your power, you know, your authority to be able to do that or not, but to be able to do that is just such an American thing.
Yeah.
And so there are times when it's hard to, you know, even maybe for us, we may be close in age, but for us to remember, I mean, some of the things that I remember, like I was born in an era where there were no cell phones.
Yeah.
So going outside to play was a thing, you know, and it's hard for a 20-year-old or 19-year-old or 18-year-old to really think, you know, that I would have been stopped going into a restaurant, that my great-great is buried somewhere in a forgotten place, to kind of have an awareness of kind of like coming out of today and where you are presently and moving into, you know, the history, into the past, and understanding the past, because it helps formulate today. Yep. So if you say, okay, well, it doesn't make a difference, my vote may not make a difference, is it reason enough to, you know, to motivate you knowing that someone fought for this right?
Right.
You know, for you to do that. I mean, I think about my first time voting, being 18, and I'm really going to date myself by saying this, but, you know, I think it was Ronald Reagan, you know, and my father was like trying to get in the booth with me. And, you know, like the tellers or I'm not even sure what your poll workers were saying, sir, you can't go in there with her. You know, it was a different day. Yeah. I mean, today he wouldn't have been able to, you know, get into a, you know, that's not going to happen today. But, you know, just that's what he impressed upon me, you know, going back through my lens, this is important and this is why. So there was someone, you know,
Yes.
Making that impression on me.
Yes.
So I think we have to make an impression on all people, but on younger people to right. say, this is important to preserve this, for you to participate in this. You know, historically, this is what's happened. I think we're just so stuck in today and where we are right now, this minute. It's hard to get a young mind to think, you know,
that's right.
past.
Like Mr. Bailey wasn't able to vote at
one
time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And see, and that, I mean, just the fact that you said that, that makes me think.
Yeah.
You know, wow, that's true.
Yeah, so that's that. The Voices of Remembrance is a very, very important work.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Thank
on that.
You.
And keep.
It's
keep
moving
pressing.
Slow, but you know, it's
hey,
coming.
Moving.
It's happening.
It's moving.
Yeah.
It's moving. Yeah. It's moving. So you told me some weeks ago a statistic that I was just kind of shocked at about. There are no people of color in preservation, and you gave me a number.
Yeah.
So. Talk to me about that.
So there's a senior vice president at the National Trust. So there are these organizations, again, like I didn't know what the National Trust was. I mean, you think about institutions, organizations that are into historic preservation, conservation, maintaining these historic spaces. And so his name is Brent Leggs. Mm-hmm. And he was invited as a guest speaker. I was not there. This is before my time, but I think I'm a result of that. And he made a speech about there being 1%, one percenters is what I call us, the one percenters, which is, you know, not a something, you know, to brag about, but hopefully we can grow that percentage, but that there is 1% of the preservationists are people of color, and more specifically Black people. Mm-hmm. So you think about if you have 100% of preservationists, you have 100 people in the room, there's one person that's going to be Black. So that's kind of sad to know and to hear a statistic like that. And so I think this program, Voices Remembered, under the umbrella of Preservation Virginia, is important to grow that percentage. Now, I would say, and again, I don't want to, you know, ruffle the waters here, but, you know, I would say that there are more than 1% of African Americans in preservation. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
You know, you may be your, and this is what we look for in Voices, through Voices Remembered. You may be the family historian. You may be the church lady who keeps the records at the church. So you have funeral records, you have marriage records, you have all of these records at a church. Family reunions, you may be the organizer for the family reunion. So you may not have gone into a certain discipline as a major in college, like history or architecture or Black studies. Or you may be, you know, studying to be a curator at a museum or something like that. So there may not be. So I think he's correct in that officially we may not have preservationists, you know, under these categories. But I think there are more people in preservation than, I mean, you're a preservationist.
I was going to say. Got to include the filmmakers.
Yes,
in too,
absolutely. Yeah. And so you may be going into something or have a career or be in a field that you're like, oh gosh, I really am preserving the history of my community. So I think he is right with that 1% statistic, but I think there are more of us out there than is documented.
So is the push really to get Black people formally into preservation, like into those degree programs, or is it just opening
I think,
up?
I feel like as Black people, we are, and again, this is my lens, we're constantly trying to prove something, share something, document something, because we have this period, and this is not new, but this period of erasure happening in this country. Where the history is forgotten or it's told a different way or there's a spin on it. And so I think Voices Remember is kind of both. Like we want to officially make preservationists out of, say, our fellowship program or our community people. But at the same time to say, you know, I'm this, there's I can give recognition in that you are a preservationist. Now, you might not have a little plaque on the wall that says, Brian, the preservationist, but you are by virtue of what you do and documenting, you know, because 100 years from now, the hope is someone will pull this podcast up in whatever realm we're in in innovation, but we'll pull it up and hear what we're talking about.
Yeah. So, Lisa, what's the how do we get more people into preservation? I mean, I understand recognizing that people are already in it, but what's the, like, how do we get more people interested?
I think it's something to, you know, again, we talk about generational gaps. This is something I'm doing later in life. Looking back, if I had, you know, as an 18-year-old freshman in college said, I'm going to major in history, or I'm going to major in Black studies, or I'm going to, like, I didn't know to do those types of things. And I know we look to the future and young people to kind of get into that kind of thing. But I think there are people who are my age, your age, younger, older, who are very much involved. It is, who's calling us preservationists? Like, who's given us the title?
Yeah.
And what does that mean? Who falls into those categories? I think if, as long as we realize that we have to have a part in the storytelling, that's the most important thing. I don't think there's going to be like a whole number, a bucket of people who are, you know, these are the preservationists. And if you want to be a part of that, you know, I think it's something that will be realized in time. I think it's happening. And it's just fascinating just to see. I mean, I feel like every day, like, this is my dream job.
Yeah.
I feel like every day I'm encountering something that I'm like, wow, it's just mind blowing. For example, so we'll talk about the fellowship, but I have one fellow that I think you're filming soon, Michelle Oliver. And I went to Evergreen Cemetery, which is in Richmond, Virginia. And so I'm going to the sites where they're working. And so I've been in several cemeteries, you know, since, you know, starting this position with Preservation Virginia. Maggie Walker is buried there. So, and I'm sure there's some kids saying, who's Maggie Walker? But, you know, she's important to Richmond. Not to be confused with Madam C.J. Walker. So two different Walkers. But St. Luke's banking, like just fascinating story about her life. Her whole family is buried there. And here's a space that has been forgotten. There are over 10,000 people buried over there. And so it's just that we need so much help in the spaces. You went to Alexandria, Virginia, and you saw the Frederick Douglass Cemetery where Michael Johnson is working in that area. So it's every day I'm seeing these spaces. One of the founding jewels of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity is buried at Evergreen.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it is, you know, and then people who are not well known are buried there. So this is a part of our history where these spaces are just overgrown, you know, forgotten. And I would hate for my parents, both my parents are deceased, to think that there's no legacy regarding who they are, that they have been forgotten, that they are buried in a space that one day, you know, some parking lot or some building or something, you know, and progression happens, but to just pave over history and just forget it is just scary to me.
Yeah, I do want to talk about the fellows program, which is some really groundbreaking, incredible work that you all are doing. There are five fellows, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the fellows and you mentioned two of the projects.
Yes.
And again, this is something that I get to go out and film, and these stories are just, they're heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But then I put in perspective, it's like, oh, we have to do this. This has to be done, you know? So,
yeah. Unfortunately, and maybe fortunately, that heartbreak is what we're trying to get to, so that people understand the tragedy and the trauma behind these spaces just being completely erased, like forgotten. Think about how many times you've driven past a space and didn't know what it was, but you know, somebody over there, you know, is it is.
Yeah. So just tell me about the fellows, the program, and maybe just a little bit about each of them again.
Okay. So under Voices Remembered, we have like three prongs. So we have community work, we have oral history and descendant work, which is what, you know, important, you know, as far as preserving the history. And then we have a fellowship program. So there are different fellowships across the country that focus on people of color. This one specifically has helped to grow the official number, that 1%.
Yes.
Era. I actually had t-shirts made, 1%ers, you know, help grow that number of individuals. And so it's funded through a Mellon grant, and
shout out to Mellon.
Yeah, Mellon Foundation. And prior to that, shout out to the DuPont Fund, who funded the first cohort. So the group that you're filming now is the second, the 2024 group. And so we had three last year. We have five this year. We'll have five next year also. So it's not a fellowship in the sense that you think, oh, this is a graduate school kind of thing. And it could be, you know, some of the candidates who apply could be a part of that. But this is an opportunity for five individuals to take a break from whatever 9-to-5 that they have and use the funding from the fellowship to do their research. So you can just take this summer, take a break from whatever you do. We have a pastor, we have a financial advisor, someone who works for the city of Alexandria, all these individuals, who are a composer, two filmmakers, to kind of take a break and say, okay, what do you want to focus on during this summer that will help further the Virginia, the fuller Virginia story? So we, you know, we're combing through, we had over 44 applications this year. Actually, we had over 40 applications in the first year.
Wow.
And so again, you know, you have these limitations. You have three slots for 40 applicants. You have five slots for 44 applicants. So it's difficult, you know, because everybody's got a project. Everybody has an idea that, you know, something they want to do. So they'll be presenting this at the end of the summer. And, you know, hopefully, you know, you can't complete a whole research project in 90 days. You just can't. So hopefully this will help be the beginning of some of the things they want to do.
Yeah. And you mentioned the cemetery in Alexandria.
Yes. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that project. I mean, all of them are.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Know, fascinating.
Yeah.
But that one just.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking also. And so usually, and we outlined this in the application process, we're looking at individuals who are looking at cemeteries, who are looking at stories of enslavement, churches, reunions, descendant groups. So you are a descendant of a property, of a plantation, of a farm, and wanting to do more genealogical research on that. So it could be run the gamut of any number of things. We had applicants who were interested in the music of Black people and that history, just any number of things. And so this cemetery, gosh, so we have this progression that happens, development moves in. There's an apartment building or condos or something right on the perimeter of seven individual cemeteries.
Yes.
And the Black cemetery is right on the line of this condo, of this complex. And so I'm not sure how many bodies are there, but Michael Johnson, he works for the city of Alexandria. He has relatives who, so here's the story again.
Yeah.
He has relatives who are buried there. And so he's doing research about how do we preserve these spaces. And when it rains, it floods the area. And so, you know, you have a lot of things happening, you know, when we talk about the topography of it, the environmental issues. I mean, all kinds of issues. There's literally, and I have a video of a groundhog who is like tunneling through the cemetery. They have a issue with frogs and turtles. So
yeah,
you literally have this environmental issue versus the preservation of these spaces where people are buried. So it's you know, and it's Alexandria, yeah. you know, so it's very concentrated, the you know, amount of people who are buried out there.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that really just, you talk about heartbreaking, is that Mr. Johnson was telling me that they haven't even accounted for all of the
yes.
the bodies that are there. So, and yeah. it's this condo, but I mean, you can't, it's not difficult math, right?
Right.
You know, it's, yeah. it's, there's something wrong.
Yes.
But and again, it's just why, so why cemeteries and, I mean, I know mm-hmm. the kind of, this is maybe obvious, but why are we focused in terms of Black history? Why do we yes. focus on those places, cemeteries? Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's as obvious as you're saying.
But to us, to me, yeah,
yeah. I don't think people realize the families, the stories that are there. I think you have to, as an individual, as a human, you know, as looking through the lens of humanity, just point blank, Black, white, whatever, say, how important is it that these people are remembered? Mm-hmm. How important is it that we be able to trace, which again, as Black people, and I talk about this in Black studies, can't go back.
Absolutely.
But so far.
And that's where I was going with this.
Yeah. I mean, think about Michael's project. There's a debate about, and he brings this up, about how old the cemetery is. To have a certain date, and I don't want to quote numbers because I know, but there's like a 20-year differential between what is posted and some of the stones that are there.
Yes.
You know, like it's clearly, you know, denoted that it goes back further than what the sign says. And so he's trying to do his research and go through those preservation channels to demonstrate, like, this is an older space and there are more people buried here than you may think. So we don't want to put any more buildings over here. And we don't want to, you know, just cover up, pave over. I mean, you have that portion of it or that ideology around it. And then, you know, just, it's my family. You know, these are my relatives. And then you can see the difference. You can literally cross the sidewalk, cross the street, and see the difference yeah. in that cemetery. That means there's a Confederate cemetery where some Confederate soldiers are buried. Very well kept, very well marked, just right across the street. So it's not just, it's not fair. And how do you make sure, ensure that however you believe, that both sides of the story are told and shared?
Do you believe that we have fallen asleep at the wheel? My kids, they're grown now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they always joke because when we drive anywhere, we go on vacation, we do anything, I stop at every historical market.
You do that too?
Every historical market. And it used to drive them crazy. Yeah. Now they understand because I want them to remember. I mean, I want them to know. I tell them how important history is.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of like, you know, these cemeteries and these spaces that have not been well kept, is it that we've fallen asleep at the wheel? Is it the fact that we can't trace our family? I think about mm-hmm. that all the time. Like, I can only go back so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have we fallen asleep at the
yes
wheel?
Yes and no. I mean, it's a combination of all of that, I think, because you have to, again, decide as a human being, do I have a responsibility? You know, we talked about voting. Do I have a responsibility to vote? Is that something that's been taught to me that I should do? Do I have a responsibility to make sure that these historic spaces are never forgotten? And we have all these programs, you know, we have, you know, Green Book programs. We have, and I'm referring to like the Department of Historic Resources. I didn't even know there was a whole government, State of Virginia department that focused on historic markers. And I think that's what maybe Brent Legs was referring to about the one percenters, that there are 1% of people maybe who know that that's a thing, you know, you see these signs, you can't, and you have county, you know, you might have a county of Henrico mm-hmm. sign or Chesterfield sign, but then you have state markers, the National Trust and, you know, these landmark spaces and these applications and nominations that kind of go up the chain of how space. One of the things that because I love music, one of the things that the National Trust is doing now is they're restoring the childhood home of Nina Simone.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm going to Charleston this weekend. I'm hoping we can kind of detour a little bit and check it out. But who would think about that? Like, this is the place where she was raised, where she probably rehearsed, where she, you know, sung and wrote songs. And this space is being preserved. So I think we have to decide how important is it to us. Somebody has to.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we have these departments and these organizations like Preservation Virginia that are trying to take on. Now, we can't do it all, because I get a call maybe every day, an email or something like, I've got something in the backyard. What is it? Can you come check it out? Or, you know, there's a family in Danville who has a church that a woman started, this church, and it's not an active church now, but the building is still there. And so it's sitting up on blocks. So how do we, you know, what could I do to help preserve yeah. this space? So I think we have to decide how important it is or not for us to, you know, preserve a space.
Yeah. So your crystal ball, where do you see Voices Remembered and the work that you're doing? Like, where do you want to go?
I'm hoping that, you know, again, looking forward, that 20 years from now, people won't say, oh, you remember that program that Preservation Virginia had called Voices Remembered? Oh, it was so cool. Wasn't that cool? I'm hoping that it will become a permanent
yeah.
part. Even if they call it, you know, and that's the thing about preservation. Things change. Time, you know, and so development is going to happen. History happens. You know, I'm hoping that people would look back and that program would still be there. It may be in a different form, but I'm hoping it will become a part of the fabric yes. of Preservation Virginia and not just a one-time deal. So there's money that still needs to be raised and sought after in order to maintain the program. I would love to have staff and, you know, hire people to continue to tell the story. I think it's something that'll have to always be. So I'm hoping that it's just not that was good
yeah.
for that time. I hope it's something that becomes a permanent part of Preservation Virginia's programming.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my last question, what would you tell our listeners, our wonderful listeners, about where to get started in terms of preserving maybe their own family history?
I think, for me, I started with, and you'll hear this in Dr. Harris, James Harrison's, a shout out to all the fellows, but in his story, you know, his story and my story started with a loss.
Mm-hmm.
So when my dad passed away, I didn't know much about his family, that side of the family. So I started with the family tree. And anyone who was old enough to tell me, you know, this is where your dad was born and raised, and these are his 16 brothers and sisters. And, you know, to be able to get that story. So I think if everyone would just start with your family, you know, whoever you call family. My mother was also adopted. So looking at the biological route and also following her adopted family's route, you know, I've discovered that the woman who adopted my mother and the woman who gave birth to my mother are actually related. And so you think about that time when families could not take care, Black families could not take care of children. They would, you know, adopt or take in someone else's child. And so that's what happened to my mom. Her mother passed away. The grandmother that I know and grew up seeing and being around, who I call my grandmother, period, you know, they were related. And so she took in my mother and legally adopted my mother. And so I would start with what's around you and the story that you want to hold on to, that you 100 years from now, you, who was this Lisa Wynn Bryan? Let's dig into her history and see, you know, what she was all about.
That's so, right. Document it. Talk to talk to the elders.
Yes, please talk to the elders while you can.
Yeah. One of the things we're doing, I'm going to my family reunion actually this week.
Oh, good.
And I actually set up a video booth.
Okay.
So every every single family member has to go to the, even the kids, even the babies,
mm-hmm.
everybody goes.
And so have you all illustrated your family tree and good.
It's illustrated. Good. Yep. And so we want to make sure that we have video.
Yes. I love that.
And
tracing back, you know, who's related to whom. And also, you know, when you get into documents, so I'm a nerd like that. You know, when you get into marriage records, military records, birth and death records, those are the places where you can start. You know, I look at my grandmother, my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, and see that her name was Othelia, but you see documents that say Ophelia. There may be spelled, but it's the same person.
Yeah.
So it takes a long time. Yeah. Like, I've literally been working on my family. My father's been gone for 15 years. He's become an ancestor, you know, and we talked about that too. You know, these are the stories of ancestors, and Dr. Carmen Foster always says we're ancestors in training.
In training, yep.
And so I would start by documenting as many things as you can and talking to as many people as you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Great advice. Dr. Lisa Wynn Bryan, I want to thank you for being my first guest.
Thank you.
On
it was
the
fun.
History Drop. And great work, and just I'm looking forward to everything else that's to come.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.